We want to be able to stay connected with you. You can watch our Sunday services on Facebook, YouTube and our website. You can also listen to them on Spotify, Google Podcasts and Apple iTunes. If you don't have internet access, you can use your dial-in service by calling 028-9227-0922 and listening in. Let's stay connected. Good morning and welcome to St. Columba's Deira Volga here in the Belsize Road. My name's James and I'm the minister here. You're very welcome to join us today. If it's your first time, really welcome. If you've been with us over a period of years, you're really welcome as well. If you've only joined us the last few weeks, welcome. We love to see new faces joining us. We're a vibrant and growing church here in the Belsize Road. As lockdown eases and restrictions are becoming a little bit less on us, we'd love to see you whenever we get back together. We'd love to meet up physically as well. And that's something we long and yearn for. And actually, that fits with what today is. Today is, in the church's calendar, called Pentecost Sunday. It's the birthday of the church. The disciples were locked in a room, fearful and trembling and waiting for something to happen. Jesus had told them, after he rose again and appeared to them, he told them to wait for the Holy Spirit to come. They'd never experienced this before. And so with fear and trembling, they locked themselves in a room and they waited to see what would happen. And then Pentecost happens. And that's what we're going to look at today. So stay with us and we'll explain more of that. So as I said at the beginning, this is the birth of the church. So it's kind of happy birthday church. And here we normally have a tradition where once a month we sing happy birthday to those whose birthday it is. Now, I haven't been able to do that because it would be me singing it and that would really not be great. But whenever we get back together again, we will do that en masse. But this is the birthday of the church and it's amazing. It's an amazing privilege to be a part of the church gathered here on earth. Even though we're scattered into our own homes, we are still gathered today with one heart to worship one God. So we've come together in the name of Christ to offer our praise and thanksgiving, to hear and receive God's holy word, to pray for the needs of the world and to seek the forgiveness of our sins, that by the power of the Holy Spirit we may give ourselves to the service of God. Jesus says, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is close at hand. So let us turn away from our sin and turn to Christ, confessing our sins in penitence and faith. Lord God, we've sinned against you. We've done wrong in your sight and we are sorry and repent. Have mercy on us according to your love. Wash away our wrongdoing and cleanse us from our sin. Renew your right spirit within us and restore us to the joy of your salvation. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. So may the Father of all mercies cleanse us from our sin, restore us in his image to the praise and glory of his name through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen. So as I said at the beginning, this is Pentecost Sunday. This is the day whenever the church is born, if you like. And actually, it's the day where everything begins to build on each other. Little Lego bricks. Loved Lego as a child. And in our house, our girls love Lego as well. And actually, it's wonderful to get a set of instructions with a particular set of Lego to build this creation all by yourself. It's mostly Disney princess things in our house. And all our houses, it may be cars or airplanes or castles or whatever it is. Or it could just be a big box of Lego, all mixed together, all jumbled up, but then you build with your own imagination. And actually, it's a little bit like the church. We're like a big box of Lego, all these different pieces coming together, fitting together. We're all different shapes and sizes, different personalities, different colours, different creeds, different understandings of who we are, who God has created us to be. But yet we all fit together because we worship with one purpose. We worship the King who kings, Lord of lords. We come together, we fit together, we are called the church, not because of this physical building, but because of you and I, fitting together into God's family. We're the church. And even though, I've said this before, whenever we've gathered together, If we were to look around, if we were gathered in this place today and we were to look around, we wouldn't necessarily choose to be here with all these people. I don't mean that harshly, and I give me grace as I say that, but actually what I'm saying is this. Whenever we choose our friends, we choose them because we have the same interests, or we're around the same age group, or we're at the same stages or ages of life, or we're involved in the same work, or the same hobby. But the church is a body of diverse people brought together to be God's hands and feet in this community. A body of diverse people who fit together perfectly because we are the family of God, sons and daughters of the Most High. That's the privilege. And that's what we celebrate today on this birthday of the church. So let's hear how all this happened. Let's hear God's word today.
The reading today is from Acts chapter 2, beginning at verse 1. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one heard them speaking in his own language. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Are not all these men who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in his own native language? Parthians, Medes and Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues." Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, "What does this mean?" Some, however, made fun of them and said, "They have had too much wine." Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice and addressed the crowd. "Fellow Jews, and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These men are not drunk as you suppose. It is only 9 in the morning. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heaven above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved."
So Pentecost Sunday is, and I keep saying it, is the birthday of the church. Whenever we hear that reading read, it can seem a little bit confusing. Here are a group of disciples who have hid themselves in an upper room. The door is locked and no one can get in. But what happens? Listen to verse 1. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. And suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. In one sense, it seems as if there was confusion happening amongst them. They spoke in different tongues, in different languages. It goes on to say in verse 5 through to verse 12 that these languages were understood with all the people who had gathered from all over, Parthians, Medes, Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, Pilate, Pontus and Asia. And it goes on with some more names that are really hard to pronounce But these languages were recognized and heard. And so in one sense, whenever we go on into the New Testament, the speaking of tongues, which we'll not get into today, but there's a sense here, not of confusion, but of God birthing something completely new. The scriptures call that the church. Church is the body of Christ. It's you and I. We make up the church. And in a sense, that's exactly what is happening, because whenever we are reborn, as it says in the Gospel of John, Jesus' words, not the preachers, whenever we are reborn into a new creation, as the Apostle Paul says, and there's something new happens. There's a new life comes to live within us. The Holy Spirit now dwells within us. And we join with others. As we just said in the children's talk, we join with others who we wouldn't necessarily choose to be with because we're not all the same. But actually, we worship the same God. And so we're united under one banner. And actually, in verse 13, it says that some, however, made fun of them and said, they have had too much wine. See, it looked as if they were completely drunk. They were out of their mind. They were confused. I wonder, have you been so enthralled, so in love, so overwhelmed by God that other people have looked at you and thought, what is going on there? I know I find that in my walk with God. There have been times whenever I have been so in love with him, and assumedly there have been times whenever I am so not close to him that it's not recognizable that I am with him. But in this moment, whenever the birth of the church happened, it's so recognizable that God is present, that something completely out of this world is happening. That they are, the people around them are confusing it and trying to explain it away, but you can't explain God away. It's not possible. He's the Father of all mercies and the giver of all lights. He's the King of kings. He's the Lord of lords. He's the indescribable, describable one. There's a paradox, isn't it? Verse 14 is really important today. Then Peter stood up with the 11. He raised his voice and he addressed the crowd. Fellow Jews and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. Now here, hold on a wee minute. This is the same Peter who was cowering, hiding in a locked room. This is the same Peter who denied Jesus at the campfire because he was afraid of what other people would think. Now that the Holy Spirit has come upon him, the third person of the Trinity. Remember, we worship a triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. That's hard to get our heads around, but it's a truth that we know and we love, that the God that we worship is so indescribable, so uncontainable, that he is able to do that. This is the Holy Spirit who empowers the cowering Peter to stand with authority and to discharge that authority over the crowd who are now trying to explain away what God has done. Verse 15. Peter says, these men are not drunk as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. It's 9 o'clock in the morning. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In these last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in these days, and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs in the earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke. Some will be turned to darkness, the moon to blood, before the coming and great and glorious day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Remember, we worship the God who is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so the God who says he is going to pour out his spirit and who did so in that first birthday of the church can do it again today. And like never before, in the middle of this mess of the coronavirus, people are seeking God. Maybe you've joined us this morning because there's a hankering in you to know something more. Maybe whenever everything else in our lives have been stripped away from us, we realize, understand, we ask questions about what is this all about? What is life about? What is going on? Remember, last week we said that it's the Father who sets the dates and times. He's the one who's in control. He's the one who's sovereign. The online website, eden.co.uk, that's not a publicity stunt for them. They haven't paid me anything for that. But they've sent statistics recently, which says that the online sale of Bibles has increased dramatically over this period. Why? Because people are seeking what is true and what is right. They're trying to make sense of what is going on around us. And the best place to make sense of that is in God's Word. Because God's Word is active and alive, sharper than a double-edged sword. It splits between the bone and the marrow. Not my words, you'll find them in the Bible. It speaks right in to the very heart of what is going on today. And right into the very heart of the confusion that the disciples were feeling whenever Jesus had died. And then they were ecstatic that he had rose again. He was now walking with them. And then he leaves them, as we said last week, and has ascended into his rightful place in heaven. And he tells them to wait. They're probably thinking, well, what's going on? Can he not just have stayed with us? He's defeated death. Can he not just stay with us now and prove to the world that he is alive? What does Jesus do? He goes back to heaven and he says, I'm going to send my Holy Spirit to be with you. Wait for him to come. And so in their confusion of heart, they wait. And whenever they wait, the time comes for the Holy Spirit to come. And then Peter gets it. Remember, Peter's the disciple who always kind of jumps in both feet first and then kind of regrets what he's done. Then Peter gets it in verse 14. Then Peter gets it that he is now the hands and the feet. Peter gets it that he is now carrying the presence of Jesus into the situation. And into the moments where people are trying to explain away God, we are his hands and his feet. Into the middle of this coronavirus world, we are his hands and his feet. You're the ones, you and I, who can stand up and say, Jesus is alive, he's in control, and he's present with us today. Ah, but James, I can't speak. Oh, but James, I'm not able to do that. Oh, but James, I'm not the minister. Watch a little video on our website or Facebook page called The Little Boy, and you'll find that there once was a time whenever I said I couldn't speak either. But empowered by the Holy Spirit, I now stand before you today. Now, that's not for everyone. I'm not saying that God is going to call each of us into ministry or to lead a church or to stand in front of a camera, which is way outside of my comfort zone, by the way. But what I am saying is this, that whenever God does a new thing in you, then you become his hands and his feet to tell others about it. You're a presence carrier of Jesus today. That's what the disciples were in this passage. They became presence carriers of the triune God. They became presence carriers of the Holy Spirit. Where do you need to carry God's presence to today? Is that into your workplace? Into your home life? Is that into your conversations? Is that into your social media content? And let's not forget the preacher's included as he asks those questions. Where do I need to carry the presence of God into today? Because actually, I know I keep saying it, but I believe that whenever people know that they are known and loved by Jesus and by you, that will be the beautiful legacy that comes out of this awful mess. Because we carry his presence. We are his hands and his feet out into this community. God is doing a new thing amongst us. Now, scriptures also say that there's nothing new under the sun. Everything that has been before. And everything that will be has been before. So why, James, are you saying there's a new thing that God is doing? Because we haven't been here before. The phrase that's used is, this is unprecedented times. But these times have been before. Read the pages of history, read the pages of the scriptures, read the annals of the history books. These times have been before, times whenever the world has been uncertain of what is happening. Whenever pandemics have swept the world. But it's just we, as a generation, have never experienced it before. And so these are really strange times for us living in this generation. So God is doing a new thing amongst this generation. He is calling us back to refocus on him. So are you waiting? The disciples were waiting. Yes, maybe fearful and confusion of heart, but they were waiting. We look back with hindsight and the knowledge that Jesus has sent his Holy Spirit to be with us. And so we need to wait. In the presence of God, we need to wait to be refreshed by him, to still ourselves enough to hear the whisper of God. Have you done that recently? Have you stilled yourself enough to hear the whisper of God? Because often whenever we still ourselves to hear the whisper of God, he comes like the blowing of a violent wind and he fills the whole place where we are waiting. Often whenever we still ourselves, we find that he is not found in the earthquake, wind or fire, but he is found in the still, small calm. And it's in those moments that God will do a new thing with you, in you and through you. Mark that day in your diary or in your journal and look back on it in the years that are yet to come. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions and your old men will dream dreams. Even in my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. And everyone who calls in the name of the Lord will be saved. God has done it. God can do it, and God will do it. He is sovereign, he is alive, and he is present with you and with I today. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you that you are present with us. Lord, we thank you that in the stillness and in the quietness, you meet with us. Lord, help us to carve out time to do that today, this week. But in this moment, we want to pray for our families and for our friends who need uplifted before the one who is able. Whether that's because of fears or uncertainties or because of health reasons, we lift them before you now, Lord. We continue to pray for the key workers in our community, those who are providing services across the board to ensure that a sense of normality can continue and the vitalness of keeping us safe and secure. Maybe we know someone or someone in our family or in our neighbourhood or someone who we are acquainted with or a friend who we need to pray with or pray for today. Let's do that now. And we continue to pray for those who grieve. In this strange and uncertain times where grief is compounded by the fact that we can't shake hands or can't hug or we can't pay our respects in the way that we are normally used to. And sometimes that we can't even be with our loved one as they pass away. We pray peace and love and mercy into those situations. So we pray together, Our Father. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Amen. Before we finish our service today, one of the short little creeds that we would use here regularly is actually taken from the scriptures. One of the earliest creeds that we find in the Bible and in the life and history of the church. Christ died for our sins in accordance with the scriptures. He was buried, he was raised to life on the third day, and afterwards he appeared to his followers and to all the apostles. This we have received and this we believe. Amen. That's the solid foundation that we can stand on today as we go out to be his hands and his feet in our families, workplaces, and in our community. May the Lord bless us as we do that. We conclude with the call out of today. Almighty God, who in the day of Pentecost sent your Holy Spirit to the apostles with the wind from heaven and the tongues of flame, filling them with joy and boldness to preach the gospel, by the power of the same Spirit, strengthen us to witness to your truth and to draw everyone to the fire of your love through Jesus Christ our Lord. And may the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit rest upon each one of us this day and forevermore. Amen. Amen. Please do continue to connect with us through our website, derevolgi.com, or indeed on our Facebook page, where you can see all of our updates. If you need any help during the week, please phone 0289252 8242 and leave a message and we'll be able to get back to you. Thank you.